Vastu Nirdesh. What is the subject matter of this Srimad Bhagavatam? The subject matter of this Bhagavatam is Param Satya, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Vasudev, which means the all-pervading personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who has also become the son of Vasudev. Krishna is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, who is that Param Satya? What is his nature? The source of everything, Janmadhyasya Yataha, the source of, here is mentioned, Utpati Stiti Life, creation, maintenance, and destruction. So, he is the source of that. He is directly and indirectly conscious of everything. He puts even the demigods into illusion. This is, in this prayer by the demigods, these points, many of these points, which have been described in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, are also being described from their practical experience. They give the example, Vispulinga-adibhya-ivihiranyare-tisaha, that the jiva is like the spark of the original fire. This is the Vaishnava philosophy. Or when you say Vaishnava philosophy, it means actual philosophy. That is described in a very important verse of Vishnu Purana, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in his discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, the great Mayavadi, to describe what is the nature of the Absolute Truth. Ekadesha sthitasyagna jyotsna vistarini yutha. He's given the example of the fire which spreads its heat and light everywhere. Ekadesha Parasya Brahmana Shaktis. In the same way, the energy of the Supreme Brahman, Tathedam Akilam Jagat, in the same way the energy of the Supreme Brahman is spread throughout the cosmos. So this speaks of the fire and the sparks. The fire, the original fire, is spreading heat and light throughout the universe. Still, the heat and light are the symptoms of the fire. They're inseparable from the fire. Still, the original fire has its position. And the other example given of the sparks, the spark of a fire is fire, same nature, but is not the full fire. The full fire has a different quantity of energy. So in the same way, the jiva is the nature of the fire, but not the full fire. Now, this is what we were saying, Vaishnava philosophy, sometimes this is considered, this is Vaishnava philosophy. I saw it in Mangalore, they had that book published by the Ramakrishna Mission. The different philosophies. Vaishnava, that means they gave Ramanuja's philosophy, Madhva's philosophy, Vallabhacharya's philosophy. I didn't look inside the definition, I just saw the cover. But Shankaracharya's philosophy, said, the main philosophies. So they say, well, if you want, you can explain Shankaracharya's philosophy. If you want, you can explain Madhva's philosophy. If you want, you can explain Ramanuja's philosophy. Different ideas, different perceptions of the same absolute truth. So in one sense, that may be true, that even the impersonal understanding, that is one perception of the absolute truth. But what is the complete perception and the correct perception that we have to see? Now, there are some philosophers who say that, well, any way you take it, one perception is as good as another. This is incorrect, and we have to apply, as yesterday we were talking about, nyaya and dharma. We have to apply logic, and we put your logic against mine, and we'll see what is the actual position. That any perception is as good as any other. Then we have the story of the blind men with the elephant. None of their the perception of none of them was complete, and their perception of any of them is not at all sufficient to understand the elephant. Another example I often give is that simply perception without education, without proper education, is useless. Just like Mike usually, when Maybe it's up to you because I have the microphone. So I'm saying, let's take this microphone, you give this to a resident of the jungle and give it to him. So he may take it, well, this I could maybe use for breaking nuts. Or if I'm cooking some stew, I could use it for stirring. It's also true. I could stick it in his belt and use it as an extra weapon to hit someone on the head with. So all these things, the microphone could be used for that, there's no doubt. But the proper purpose of the microphone, its specific usage, its function is dharma. What is the microphone dharma? What is it supposed to do? What is its function within the cosmos? It's to amplify sound. And one who knows how to use that properly, one who knows how to relate with it properly, then he can use it in that function and get the benefit from it. So similarly, real philosophy means not simply my perception. Real philosophy means sambandha abhideya prayojan. What is the necessity, what is the use that we can get from the microphone? So someone may say the use of it is, it's very good for breaking peanuts. And that is true, it's also true, but it's not the actual use of the prayojan. So what is my relationship with that microphone, how I can use it, how it can benefit me, in practical, how to use it. So between any two entities, between different entities, there may not exist any relationship, just like between an elephant and a microphone. An elephant has no need for a microphone, because one thing is, his voice is so loud anyway, he doesn't need it. And another thing is, within elephant society, his whole eating, sleeping, mating and defending, all that he can think of, he cannot go beyond that, is encompassed without any need for a microphone. And actually a human being doesn't need it either. But he may, as he is a sophisticated animal, he may add it to his paraphernalia for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. He finds some use for it to make, in his complicated manner of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, he may use a microphone. And a devotee of Krishna may also use a microphone for expanding the glories of Krishna, for speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So between any different entities, there is sambandha abhideya prayojan that is established. So when we're talking about the absolute truth also, we may perceive in a certain way, and we can even develop a whole philosophy. With the microphone, the adivasi in the jungle who's using it to crack his nuts, he may find a very expert way to crack the nuts. If you hold it from this side, it's better, and you have to hold it with this wrist action, you go like this, and he breaks the nuts, boom, very expertly. Just cracks it open and the nuts fall out without being damaged. So he may develop some philosophy also based on a wrong perception. He may develop it, but it's incorrect. Incorrect, you may say, no, it's not incorrect because I break my nuts very nicely. But because it's misapplied, because he's understood wrongly in the first place, therefore it's all wrong. It's all misapplied, and the real benefit of the microphone cannot be heard. So in the same way, in approaching the absolute truth, we may even develop very elaborate philosophies, more elaborate than the misuse of a microphone, because when we're just discussing the absolute truth, there are so many subjects to be taken into account, just like the demigods have given so many important, the different terms they have given, any of these terms could be analyzed for days. Akhila jagat utpati stitta lai, nirmitta, he is the cause of the whole creation, maintenance, creation, maintenance, destruction. So practically the whole Srimad Bhagavatam starts on this point and describes this point, how the Supreme Lord, he is the creation, the source of creation, maintenance and destruction, but he's not simply he's both. Both kinds of causes are in him, both the direct cause and the remote cause. He's also the resting place of the creation. And even above that, that's not all just like some they praise. God is the creator. Yes, they say, oh, he's so great, he's created everything. But God's main function is not simply to create the universe. That's, if you say, oh, the prison, the government is such a wonderful government because they make such nice prisons. They maintain them very nicely. But the president of the country, his main business is not creating prisons and making ordinances for governing the prison. His real function is maintaining the whole state, seeing to the welfare of the state. And even beyond that, he has his own private family life, which is, that's the most important thing of all to him. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, his main function is not creator of the universe. That's a very minor function for him. He has his own world that he oversees. But even more than that, is within his own world, just like the president, within the state, he travels through the state and oversees everything. But his own home life, how he talks with his wife. So like that, there's the spiritual world, that is the real world of the Supreme Lord. And within that, there is Golok Vrindavan, where the Supreme Lord, he gives up all formality and simply runs and dances with his devotees. So many points to be understood. If we understand it wrongly in the first place, then even we may develop a very complex philosophical system, but it's not correct. Therefore, this idea that you can take any philosophy and it's all the same, explain it this way, explain it that way, explain it another way, this way, that way, another way. But if the basic point is wrong, then you're going to find there are so many things which are wrong. Just like in Shankaracharya's philosophy, the whole basis is based on house on sand. The basic proposition that everything is of undifferentiated oneness. That in itself, even to say that, that means someone has to say and someone has to hear, someone has to think. There is the seer and the seen, and the vision. That so they say all are one, the seer, the seen, and the act of seeing. It's all the same. Drishya, drishta, darshan, all the same. But how can it be? It cannot be. That one is seeing something else. Or if you say that everything is all one, then why are you preaching anything? Because it's already all one. Well, who are you trying to convince? Who are you trying to convince? If I am the fetal soul, I am me and you are we and we are all together, if that's actually the fact, then they'll say, then withdraw from the world, there's no need to endeavor for anything. Then why preach anything to anybody either? Why preach? What's the object of preaching? Who are you, who or what are you trying to convince? Because we're already vyavaharik. But it's not vyavaharik. It's not practical. It's very impractical. I had this experience once on the street in Patna. I was speaking to some, I was walking on the street, some young students came and spoke to me. So I was speaking to them. The one man, he was walking past, he stopped and he listened for a few minutes. Then he protested because I was speaking something which he didn't like, which was, we are all servants of God. This was a side street. There are not many people on the street. It was residential, and pigs running here and there. Some of the things, pigs and chickens. And so. Not so many chickens, more pigs. So anyway, you say, no, you should not say we're all servants of God. We are all God. Everything is God. So then there's pig running here. So I asked him, well, do you say that the pig is also God? Yes. Would you be prepared to offer puja to this pig? Yes, certainly, why not? What about the stool of the pig? Would you pick that up, take that home, put on your altar and worship with ghee lamps and things? Yes, why not? Everything is God. The stool of the pig is God. So this we see, not realistic. That if you take the logical, if you extend by logic what are the propositions, then they'll take even the stool of the pig should be worshipped. So you become a laughing stock. Then you take it even further. And if all is one, then why are you going to eat rice and chapatis? Why don't you eat the stool of a pig? It's all the same. It's all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it doesn't cost any money. And full of vitamins, so many things. So the pigs are very healthy, very fat. Why not eat them? Or they'll say, no, no, we have to live. Vyavahari. Practical. You have to be practical. Yes, sir. We are practical. We say that we are not supreme. This idea, we are all supreme, is a very nonsense idea. Very meaning of supreme is above all others. There's also, they say, they have some idea, they say, well, actually, in the beginning there was only this philosophy, and then because people are less intelligent, they introduced bhakti in this way. Because people are less intelligent, they introduced that, and then, but for more intelligent people, not for more intelligent people, for the least intelligent people who are stuck in this tiny little universe being kicked by Maya, tiny little planet, some tiny little street running around in the jungle. This tiny little, if you look on the map even, you can't find it. And one street in one town in one country in one planet, and a little ball in the universe, this huge universe, and there are millions of universes, and someone is going around thinking, I am supreme, so insignificant. Because we are more intelligent, we can understand. And what is our intelligence? How much intelligence? We are so proud of their intelligence. And how much intelligence do you have? Oh, I have intelligence. Cosmic intelligence. This is great illusion to think that I am supreme. Then, if you say all are supreme, that in itself is self-defeating, because how can we all be supreme? Supreme means asamurdhava. Greater than or equal to, there is nothing. That is meaning of supreme. There cannot be more than one supreme. Supreme means above all others. Top. Number one. So therefore the demigods, they're giving what is the actual position of God. That is described clearly. Those who are non-envious, they will take the Srimad Bhagavatam. That yes, here is actual information. Who is supreme? What does he do? How can you say? How can we understand God by our logic? We say, God, what does he do? What does he look like? And we should know, if we're going to worship God and love God, we should know, what is he doing? What does he like to do? He's a person. Then, what is he doing? We say, he's blue. He runs in the forest with his cowherd boyfriends. Plays on the flute. He dances with the gopis. You say, well, it doesn't sound like God to me. Well, that doesn't matter, because it sounds like God to God, and he's God. And he can do whatever he likes. He's not that God should fit my conception. Our God is a very moral God. He doesn't dance with gopis, we hear some people say. Our God, he's very moral, you know, he's very right. So you cannot say that I think God should be like this. I think God is very cruel, because they'll say, he's very cruel. Your idea of this Krishna God, he kills people, so very cruel. So even if you think he's cruel, of course you don't know. Because you can't understand, because you read your mother. Most of these Christians, so-called Christian sayings. So, even if you say, cruel, that you can't fight that. Even if your perception of it is cruel, due to your wrong perception, you can't fight that, because he is supreme. You can't protest that I think you're very cruel. And you also get your head cut off. And that's going on anyway. Anyway, God is killing everybody. Even if you say, oh, Krishna is very cruel, he killed so many people. Everyone is being killed by God, either in the form of old age, or typhoid, or malaria. Everyone is dying this way, that way, or the other. So that we should see how God, when he comes to, when Krishna kills, what is his killing? What is his kindness? Of course, there's a great science to understand. Anyway, there's so many important points here. So many. Divya Maya Vinodasya. Krishna takes pleasure in his spiritual energy. Sakala Jiva Nikayanam Anta Hridyeshu Bahirapi. All these terms, that's a big, big subject. Big, big subject of energy. What is this one? Within all the hearts of the living entities, Bahirapi also. He's outside also. He's inside and outside. a big, big subject. Then, Bahirapi, Cha, Brahma, he is also impersonal Brahman, Pratyagatma, he is also the soul of every soul, or the super soul. And Swarupena, he is also situated in his own position. And also, Padhan Rupena, he is also the form of the cosmos, he is the ingredients of the cosmos are also him. He is everything directly, but still he has his own individual personality. So many important points are here, which would take many days to discuss, actually even many lifetimes. We can never finish discussing all these things. So that is the pleasure of the devotees, to discuss about Krishna, that Krishna says in Gita. Chitam adyata prana bodhayanta parasparam katiyantas chamam yutyam tushyanti chariyanti chariyanti. The pleasure of the devotees is discussing about Krishna, how he is the cause of all causes, how he is all, so many different points are being given here. How Krishna is the supreme friend of every living being, how Krishna is enjoying his own bliss by coming again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spreading that chanting. He takes great pleasure in personally chanting his own names, and takes great pleasure in seeing others taking pleasure in chanting his names. There's so much discussion. Just one little point has been, one major point has been discussed in a small way this morning, but there's no end to this discussion. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested his devotees. One time there were, all devotees were expressing their appreciation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you really appreciate me, if you really love me, then you please just do one little thing for me. I request you. He was saying that, Jadi ama prati shneha thake shavaka, tobe krishna beti to nagaibaya. If you actually like me, then you, if you have affection for me, then you please do this one thing. You simply discuss Krishna or nothing else. Ki shayane, ki bhojane, ki bajagarane, ahar nisha, krishna chinta bhavahadane. In any position, eating, sleeping, awake, asleep, day, night, always think of Krishna and chant his holy names. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice, which he showed personally how to do and how to follow in his footsteps. Hare Krishna. Any more? Comment? Elucidation? Elaboration?
You were just mentioning, Maharaj, that this subject matters are very high. Isn't it said very high subject matters? So how do we actually just, unfortunately, conclude your speech by saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that all of this is about Krishna. So I'm just inquiring from you, like when you said this is a very high subject matter, so discussing about Krishna in the public, like you said, this man who said everything is God. Now we have that type of people, and we also have innocent people who also think that they think Krishna is also God and everything, but their understanding is may not be like the other man.
Mm.
But they also think everything is God. So, but if this is these are high subject matters, how do we explain to these people, and what is the best process to make them all understand this science and practice it?
Best process is everyone should be engaged in Harinam Kirtan.
Yes.
And here, and here also, Prabhupada used to explain in a very, very simple, straightforward manner. It's a very high subject, but it's a high subject, but it's not beyond the scope of people to understand, because it is their natural birthright. And those who are prepared to hear submissively from devotees who explain correctly, they can begin to understand that Krishna blesses those who hear submissively with the ability to begin to understand. So if they're prepared, yesterday Ganesh was saying, Gyane Priyasam Udapasya Namanta Eva, those who are a little bit humble and they're jnane prayana, if they're at least prepared to listen, that means that's that a little bit that's jnana prayas, they're not thinking I already know everything. So if they're beginning, they're prepared to listen to, that is ādo śraddha, maybe a little bit of faith, maybe there's something here I could learn. A little bit of that attitude, they begin to hear, and if it, of course, if it's explained, Prabhupada would explain point by point, simply, straightforwardly, very high subject matter. But Prabhupada, you see, that was one of the many great gifts of Prabhupada, one of the greatest of his great gifts, so he was able to explain this complex Vedanta philosophy and take the essence and present that very simply. As they say, someone said, everything is all one. And Prabhupada would say, then why are you wearing a shirt? Why don't you wear a ball of cotton? It's all the same. So by these simple examples, it was able to...
It's sort of like the Kumbh Mela. Mayavadi was a man who was claiming that everything is one. So Srila Prabhupada said, therefore that wool chada, it was very cold, had a heavy wool chada. He said, therefore one thread from that chada is the same as the whole chada? He said, oh yes. Therefore give me one thread. The man gave him one thread. And Prabhupada handed that to him and he said, now you give me the chada. If it is all one, then it is the same thing. You have one thread or you have one chada. Same thing. Said, oh yes, of course, yes, yes. The man walked away without his chada.
Exposing his foolishness.
Middle of the night, he came very humbly to Srila Prabhupada and said, can you please give me my chatter? I'm very cold.
Not vyavahara. Not practical. That's something we can do. People say it's all one. So, then the money in your pocket, if it's in my pocket, it's all the same. So then kindly give it. Show your philosophy. Not vyavaharic. Avyavaharic. Then it's my leela to have it in my pocket and take the money to spend it on cigarettes.
I was asking this because in the beginning when I was preaching in Bangalore, I was telling to Srila Prabhupada about my experience of preaching to these college students. So I was inquiring, because that was the beginning in those days, even the BI had not started.
Times have changed.
Yeah, so I was asking Srila Prabhupada that whether should I just focus on the preaching to the students. I said that there seems to be a big scope, especially because this I was telling about my experience in Tamil Nadu, Madras. There's a college called Loyola College, Pachayapa College. I had done some program there. And Prabhupada told me, actually, it's nice to do this preaching. But he said, because Prabhupada also had some experience of preaching in Madras, he had come one of the programs already. So he was saying, since that place is already inflicted by so many different type of philosophy, and particularly at that time it was being governed by the atheistic, supposedly. So Prabhupada told me the best thing is, when we talk of philosophy, is that unless they are pious, unless until they are pious, they will become more envious. So the best is, Prabhupada said, you devise a program somehow or other, we do a lot of Harinam Sankirtan. So by this Harinam Sankirtan, they will get some piety. And then talk philosophy. That's the best way. I don't know whether...
Well, I beg to submit that times have changed. And by the influence of this movement and so many books going out, I was also going to college students in India starting from, 18 years ago. And it's a lot different. At that time, going into college, it was tough. They'd pull our shikas, call us names, laugh at us. Now when we go to colleges, they're very respectful. And they're ready to listen to us. Times have changed. And another thing I found, that those days you try to speak philosophy, you just get an avalanche of protests.
I think
it's Prabhupada's movement and Prabhupada's books have gone out. And people have seen that they respect. That time they were not respecting our devotees. Now they respect. You see, these people have stayed. The movement has built up. It's all over the world. It's not just a fly-by-night thing. People all over the world are taking this very seriously. People know our principles are very serious, are dedicated. This movement's got something, so it's very much respected. Another thing that's happened is that generation was so atheistic. Now, for so many years, the culture and some, in every home there was some spiritual teaching. But this generation, mostly they didn't teach their kids. So the kids that are coming up now, they have some piety, but they don't know anything. Many of them say that we don't know anything. And actually it's a fact, they don't know anything, really. They don't know anything about any spiritual philosophy. And they want to learn, and there's no one to... And they may go to this person, that person, but when they get Prabhupada's books, or they meet our devotees, they think, wow, there's a, and they appreciate there's some substance. So really, times have changed for the better in India, there's no doubt. Those early years were very tough for preaching. And now it's so overwhelmingly good, there's so much scope.
The point that I was trying to make in the question was, so this subject matter that we've been discussing,
speech given by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, recorded on 10th November 1995 in ISKCON Farm near Udupi.
One realization that we've all been having, I'm sure, I know most devotees in our age group know, having, is that life is short, you don't have much time. It's not going to be. Prepare to meet thy Creator, as we find on different Christian slogans. Actually, statements from the Bible we find in South India, especially, they put up. Prepare to meet thy Creator. So that also tied in with somebody who was singing Jaya Dija Padni Jaya Naga Kanagan Bhakti Teja Hara Paila Govinda Charan. I was just reading this about the Dvija Padmis, the wives of the Yagi Brahmanas. There's a very nice description how they were involved in their family affairs, looking after their husbands and children and doing these rituals, but they're always thinking of Krishna. But they're on a different part of Vrindavan, and Krishna didn't come there much. He didn't go that side, so they never saw him. But they're always thinking about it. Then the there's so many nice instructions in this story that Krishna Balaram, I always think of this, was Krishna Balaram sent, and he came back and said, well, the Brahmins didn't give us anything. So Krishna said, don't worry, that begging is like that. You can't expect to be successful everywhere. Krishna also has experience as a beggar. He knows everything. He's in the heart of everyone. So he knows everything about everything. But even, he's a beggar also. Vamandeva Leela, he comes, begs. Everything he's done. He's been everywhere, done everything. That's Krishna. He's an experience in everything. So the yogi Brahmana's wives, when they heard, they were only too happy. They cooked all these things. They're pure devotees. So I always think of Krishna when they're cooking. Actually, the cooking of these things for offering and sacrifice. And the Lord of sacrifice is Lord Vishnu, but he's just a little distance away, he's there, but we never got a chance to see him. Then the boys came and said, do you think you have any food? We're very hungry. We've been out here. And we didn't have anything to eat all morning because that morning, who was it already? He killed one demon in the morning. Who was it? That was, anyway, they missed their breakfast, they're very busy killing some demon. So then they're so happy, and then they put everything ready, and then they went, and they're going out, and they think, no, I don't see. And then they saw him in his description. Krishna was just standing there, and standing there, looking more attractive than millions of cupids with a little flower and someone on his ear, as described. And he was putting on some flower garland, and just standing there with arm on someone's shoulder. And it was just what they'd always been thinking of. All these years, they'd had to do all these things and all these rituals and family, always, and then they saw him. Last they saw him. So that I was thinking, we don't have much time. Whatever we have to do, we have to do. Soon. We don't know, we can only, man proposes, God disposes. So you have to try to do something to serve Krishna in this very important time in history, spreading of the Sankirtan movement time, do whatever we can. But that simultaneously that we're doing, and we're also thinking that when will we meet with Krishna, and that is our sincere hope and desire, that Tyagvadeham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Swaram Yadgadvanam Nivatam Tetam Dhanapanam. That after so many with anadi karma phalam paribharam paribhari nadaki, after so many lifetimes just uselessly, sometimes a fraud, and it rings, just the other night rings, and really you hear a fraud, that was me. What a waste of time, being a frog, or a snake, or a fly, or a John F. Kennedy, or a Mahatma Gandhi, what a waste of time. And now the chance to go back home, back to Godhead, be with Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the song book, in one of these purports, that the goal of this Krishna consciousness is to go back to Krishna and join him in his pleasure dance. And he says so many things. If you look and see what Prabhupada says, the goal of this movement is to inform the foolish leaders of this world that there is a soul in the body, and that the whole mistake of human civilization is because they don't recognize the soul. So many things Prabhupada writes. The goal of this Krishna conscious movement is to fulfill the instructions of its divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. So many things he writes. What is the goal? One of the things he writes is to join with the Supreme Lord in his pleasure dance. So that sometimes we're a little afraid to talk about these things, because sometimes it's taken out of context, and some people they want pleasure dance now without any work now, samadhi later. So sometimes we think, well, only work hard. But of course Prabhupada he showed us that it's not simply working machine like that. Mahanasmarayudhyata, think of Krishna and fight.
Yeah.
Prabhupada was a personification of working hard and thinking of Krishna. So then we have to cultivate all this. And also think of Krishna. Prabhupada is so busy traveling here and there all over the world that sometimes they just sit down and listen to Krishna. To what is it mean? They sit and listen. So that also, that our goal of life, that when we leave this body, Prabhupada, you know that famous lecture from says, just like going to sleep. And for a devotee when he dies, it's just like going to sleep. When you wake up, you're there in the spiritual world with Krishna. So it's all there. Everything is here. Everything we need to go back to Godhead. We've got Prabhupada's books, constant source of knowledge, inspiration, guidance, everything we need. The holy names, non-different from Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, non-different from Krishna. We have that spiritual master who's so kind to us, and others who wouldn't even dream of coming anywhere near us. And then, all right, the whole world's going to become Krishna conscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but we're here in India, we're very pure, and there, let them stay there. They'll stay here in Chennai. Krishna Prabhupada went to the gutter. Just like you see the scavengers in India, they go take out the garbage, see if there's anything valuable. Just get some old bottles and plastic bags. Prabhupada did that for us, went out of the garbage, picked us out of the garbage. So we have everything Prabhupada has to go back home. Let us take advantage of that. That's my thought for the hour. You say something, Ganesh Prabhu? There's so many things to say, so much, so rich, so many things to do in Krishna consciousness. Just that I was giving class the last few days on that first verse of Bhagavatam. I'm just going through Prabhupada, giving one or two lines read from the purport, and then there's just so much. You could, even if you wanted to, I think you could just give class on the first shloka of Bhagavatam for a year or so. You just take the purport and go through. Just Prabhupada put so much in one or two lines. Just amazing. Oh, so much philosophy, so much depth. He just presses on that.